Yeah. Throwing a little ad lib,
hey,
as these modern rap songs do. What's up with that, bro?
Yeah. Yeah.
Some songs, that's all they do.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Bread and Wine Podcast. I'm Seth.
I'm Carl.
We welcome you again to our table. Today is a very beautiful topic. It's on the topic of friendship, godly friendship. And this is something that me and Carl, again, are both learning and coming into and stepping deeper into what even is friendship and how do I make friends? Who do I choose as a friend? And really the importance of friendship to the body of Christ. And I think it's something we lack a lot. And many of you maybe are sitting here saying, well, who are my friends? Who are my friends? We go through life with people that we are maybe cordial with, or maybe it's even at church and we say hello, and people that we are friendly towards. But who is your deep friend that is really just the one that you tell everything to, that you love being around, that you strengthen each other by? Do you have that? And so we're going to kind of crack that open today and call you deeper, call us deeper into friendship. Mm-hmm. So welcome in, Carl. What's on your heart on this topic, man?
Whew, it's a good one, and it's super relevant to both of our lives right now. And so I just pray that it's relevant to everybody's lives who's listening. Friendship is something that, like you were saying, that I'm learning and learning how to cultivate and develop. It's not something, I would say, since this year has started, that's just been something that's come supernaturally for me. It's something that I have had to be intentional about. And we were talking about that before we started the podcast, about how friendship does take like intentionality. You really do have to be intentional. And there's a part of me that's, you know, part of the dead man, the fleshly selfish part, that doesn't like being intentional. I want everything to be super easy and to just come easily to me. And in my experience since 2023 has started, specifically with 2023, friendship is something that I have had to pray about with other brothers and sisters in the Lord. It's something that I'm having to learn. And for me, I think the biggest part of friendship in my life is to have somebody to walk through life with, who can support you in what God's doing, and to walk alongside you in what God's doing, and to spur you on and push you towards what God is doing. I think there's a big difference between people that you just spend time around because it's fun to be around them, and having somebody who's a true friend who's pushing you towards the vision and the goals that God has spoken over your life. I think that's a really, really valuable piece of being a good friend is being willing and bold enough and courageous enough to continually push one another towards what God has spoken, and to encourage each other to follow the word of the Lord. And you're one of the first people that's really done that. There's been other people in different chapters, but specifically in 2023, man, you have really championed me in hey, what's the Lord saying and how can I help you get towards that? You have consistently done that in my life, and I consistently see you doing that in other people's lives, bro. You're a great friend.
Wow, thank you.
Dude, wow.
So are you, bro. You do that to everybody as well. It's really amazing. I'm really thankful. Actually, the friendship that we started this year, or I guess maybe it was a year ago, 2022, yeah, maybe, it has changed my life. Honestly, I can honestly say that. It's genuinely changed my life. It's made me a better person. It's taken me deeper into the depths of God. It's taken me deeper into the depths of family. And I can truly say that our friendship is, it's made a radical impact on my whole worldview.
Wow.
Seriously, on my relationships, on everything. And I think that's what godly friendship is meant to do. It's meant to be. And you speak on intentionality, and I wanted to hit on that for a second, because that's something that kind of rocked my world after I came out of college. Because, you know, if you're in school your whole life, you have a community of people around you, and you can find somebody with similar interests or, you know, similar background, similar hobbies through various sports teams, through talking to that same person in your class, through the groups you may join, through art, theater, whatever it may be, whatever you're into. It's easier to make friends there because you're surrounded by people all the time. Mm. But, you know, once you kind of get out of that world, you enter work life, or you graduate college, whatever your chapter may be, I found myself, you know, getting married, and I moved to a different town, and I was like, oh, wait, where is everybody?
Yeah.
And if, you know, you may make those friends at church, but you have to be intentional even there in that space too.
Yeah.
Because I've been in a lot of church communities where, again, I'm church friends with them, meaning we're friendly when we are together at an event, or we're friendly when we're together at a, you know, some kind of spiritual thing happening.
Right.
We may talk and, you know, shoot the bull a little bit, but as far as like deep level conversations, like you're coming over to my house to, you know, help me out on stuff, and I'm coming to your house to, you know, hang out with you and your kids when your wife is gone, and we're hanging out and playing it. Like, that is totally different, and it takes an intentionality that is vulnerable. And, you know, that vulnerability can be hard to step into because we're afraid to trust people. And really, friendship, that's what it's all about, is trusting someone, coming into loyalty, coming into an openness with a person where you are placing your trust upon them, saying, I trust you with my life.
Wow.
Like, that's a vulnerable position, and a position that we don't like to do a lot of times because it's hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard to open up like that. And that's something you've been working on, like trust, right?
Yeah, man, for sure. Yeah, trusting people enough to, like, look past your walls, you know, and look past, like, the things that you've built up in your life. And ultimately, yeah, like you're saying, just choosing to be vulnerable with people and trust them enough to, like, speak into your life. And obviously, like, that I really do believe requires some intentionality with the Lord, even in saying, like, hey, Lord, like, who have you placed in my life? Like, one of the things that I did before this year started, actually, I'm just remembering right now, was like, I made a list of, like, the people that I perceived as being significant in my life, that, like, the Lord was highlighting, like, hey, these are some people that you need to walk with. And you were right at the top of that list. Mm. One of the things I heard was, like, who is somebody that's going to help you get towards, you know, the goals that God has given you this year? And so, yeah, there's a few people on that list, and it continues to grow as things go on. Finding people that you can trust to, like, let down those walls is really important, really important.
Mm, yeah. And we see the importance of what a friend does in the scriptures. Particularly, I wanted to mention the relationship that David and Jonathan had. And you can find this story, really, it's, you know, a length of a whole book, but in 1 Samuel, you can read about Jonathan and David's relationship. And of course, if you didn't know, Jonathan was Saul, King Saul's son. And then David, of course, was going to be the next king, which was rightfully Jonathan's position because his father was king. But what happens is Jonathan takes a place of humility towards mm-hmm. David. And as David comes on a scene and, you know, kills Goliath and, you know, becomes the harp player for his father, and David is coming onto the scene as an elected person from God, Jonathan takes a position of, like, I love you. Like, I support Man. What God is calling you into. I'm not jealous of it. I don't disdain
so
you for
pure.
It was a pure. It even says in the scriptures that their souls were, like, tied together. Here's a scripture, Samuel 23:16, Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. Like, these two dudes completely relied on each other for their callings. Whew. Especially David. Jonathan saved David's life, like, from Saul trying to kill him on multiple occasions. I'm even thinking David now respected Jonathan's father. He respected Jonathan by not killing Saul when he had the opportunity. This friendship, man, these two guys, they were united, completely united. And it's actually what allowed David to follow the will of God in his life. Without Ooh. Jonathan, David probably dies.
Wow.
He probably gets killed by Saul without Jonathan. Wow. So I'm just saying this to reiterate the importance of godly friendship and companionship. And this goes beyond your spouse too. I feel like I'm supposed to say that. Your spouse is supposed to be your best friend. But men listening to this, you need a godly man in your life that you're in deep friendship with, where you can have deep spiritual conversation with on your worst day. You can say, "Hey man, I need to hang out. Like, can we get together?" Same for the women on here. You need a godly woman in your corner that you can say, "Hey, I need to get together with you. Like, we need to hang out. I need to talk through some stuff. Can we get together? Can we have fun together?" Part of this is fun too, like being able to have fun with somebody. I'm sure David and Jonathan had a lot of fun together.
Yeah.
You know, they enjoyed being around each other. But again, just to reiterate the importance of godly friendship. I know it's been important to me and Carl in this chapter as well, for the stuff that we're being called into. You know, I don't know if I would be able to do the stuff that I'm doing right now without you helping me throughout the process. Like, you've helped me. Like, you helped me with my business, planting grass. You helped me with the camper, like helping me put an AC unit in my camper. And I've helped you on your business, you know. And so we've been able to complement each other's callings and be there for one another through that, which has been really impactful for me.
Wow. Yeah, bro. And it's such a gift to be able to do that. And I do want to say that it's not always easy. It doesn't always feel easy for me to do that. Because like you're talking about, like, it takes intentionality, it takes being vulnerable, it takes choosing to trust people. And I just want to encourage people that, like, when Seth was talking about, you know, guys having godly men in your life to reach out to and say, like, "Hey, like, I just need some time with you." And the same for women. Like, if that feels like a hard thing, do it anyway.
Hmm.
Like, take that step of faith. And honestly, guys, like, I'm preaching this to myself as it's coming out of my mouth, because for some reason in me, like, to reach out to somebody, like, even honestly, like, even as Seth is somebody I consider a very, very good and close friend, like, that would still be challenging for me to just be transparent with everybody, including Seth. Like, it would be a challenging thing for me to just reach out to Seth and be like, "Hey, bro, like, I'm having a really hard time with this, or I'm having a really hard time with that, or I'm really not sure what to think about, or I'm struggling to see the Lord clearly right now, or like, what am I even doing? Am I even doing anything right when all these things and these circumstances and questions and whatever else is coming your way, when they come at you, having somebody to just mull things over with and reach out to, like, that's a challenging thing for me to do." And so I just pray that God's grace would cover all of us in that, and that we could grow in that area together as a body of Christ, like, because the body has to take care of the body. Like, the hand, like, this seems like a funny one, but, like, I can't scratch my back without my hand. Like, if I have something that's really irritating me on my back, like, I need to use my hand to do that. And so I know that kind of seems like a funny one, but, like, somebody's the hand and somebody's the back, or somebody's the foot, somebody's the hand, you know, like, we have to care for the body of Christ. Like, and so part of that, I think, is allowing other people to care for you when you need care. That's challenging for me, because the lie is I'm being selfish. Ugh. I can't believe I'm asking someone for help right now. What a burden am I?
I'm inconveniencing them.
Ugh, yeah. All that nonsense. And yeah, I'm still getting over that, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm still getting over that. So I really do. I pray that God would help all of us who struggle with that to intentionally grow through that, you know, together.
Yeah. I'm even thinking if you're sitting here listening to this and you're like, man, if somebody asked me to do something, and maybe you do this even. I've been here before where somebody asked me to do something and my first reaction is, ugh, I got to go help them. You know, how about changing our perspective from, ugh, I got to go help my friend to, oh my goodness, I get to be a blessing today.
Come on.
Like, I get to help them. Thank you, God, for this opportunity to help my friend. And imagine if your church was like that. Imagine if you started to cultivate a culture where you weren't just church friends, but you were friends in real life. You weren't just, you know, hey, Bill, how you doing? Heck of a Sunday, huh? Yeah, it's heck of a Sunday. I'm going to mow the lawn today. Yeah, I'm going to mow the lawn today too. All right, man. Have a good day. High five. A good day. Like, what if you started cultivating a culture of, like, deep-rooted friendship?
And so good.
Like, imagine what that would do for your church life, for your marriage.
Come on.
For your mental state. Kids. Like, you don't just go home and watch TV for 4 hours by yourself, but, you know, after work, you have friends come over and you hang out. And wives, I'm going to speak to wives a little bit. You're going to have to, you may have to budge a little bit and say, I'm going to allow my husband to have some time with his friends. That's a legit Whoa. Thing where wives, no, I want all of your time. Let your husband have friends. Let him do things. Whoa. And the same goes for the husbands.
Right, right.
Let your wives go out and have girl nights.
Maybe even encourage it.
Encourage it. Yeah. That's a good point, Carl. Be on their side. Say, yes, go do that. Like, we've got to open up our marriages to other people. And I know we want to protect, you know, the family, and we want to protect what we have. We want to spend time with our kids, and that's all fine and dandy. But I see so many husbands Wow. and wives kind of go crazy after they have children because they kind of lock themselves in their house all the time, and they stop hanging out with people. And man, that's the furthest thing we need to do. Wow. Our kids need to see us having godly relationships with other families. They need to see that we can have friendships that actually build up and encourage, and they need to see what godly friendship looks like. I think that's why a lot of homeschoolers, like, kind of like, why are they so weird? Well, they don't see anybody. We've locked them in our house and we don't let them go out and do anything.
We don't even let ourselves go and do anything because
we got to protect so much. We're like, we don't let anybody from the outside come in. It's like, man, we got to start developing relationships with people and letting our kids see what a godly relationship Ooh. Is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, we're like called to be the light of the world. So like, we're called to shine in this area. Like, the Lord wants to empower us to shine and be examples and lighthouses in this dark world of like what this should look like. And it's just really beautiful. There's that balance of like, wow. Like, protecting like the family and all that stuff, and then also like finding other people who are, you know, living a godly life and inviting them into that. It's really good, man. I haven't really thought about that before.
Yeah, I mean, I see it happen all the time, and we lose touch with
Wow.
we lose touch with who we are in some sense. And I think this is why a lot of especially women, after they have children, they go through depression sometimes, and it's because maybe their husband hasn't given them a chance to go and be themselves with their friends, or they just feel like they're stuck. They're stuck at home. They're stuck. They have one job now, and that's just to Wow. take care of the kid. But it's like, man, God doesn't want you to be in depression like that. Like, it's not a symptom that automatically comes with having children. You know, like, you don't have to have postpartum depression. Like, that's not something that you have to go through. And the Lord wants to Amen. Deliver you from that. I truly believe that. And that's not to condemn anyone that's gone through that. But just to say, and I'm not saying friendship is a cure-all to all postpartum depression. I know there's hormones involved and chemical imbalances and stuff like that. I know that stuff. Trust me. But hear me in what I'm saying. We don't automatically have to assume that that depression. We can come out of that, and I believe that's for every woman listening to this that has a child in pregnancy. And Yeah, I do think relationships are a big part of that. And developing strong relationships and keeping those relationships, even if we have a major life change. And the Lord's going to bring people in similar circumstances around you, and maybe you have to seek some of those out. But I'm in a position now where it's like, I had a kid. Like, my life situation is different from someone who doesn't have a kid.
Yes.
I have different life experiences. And yes. So it's helpful if I start to reach out to somebody in similar circumstances. You notice I said, it's helpful if I reach out. So intentionality, you're going to have to do it. Especially if you're the body of Christ, you're going to have to step out and start initiating conversations.
So good. Yeah. And reaching out to those people to learn from. I just felt like the Lord just reminded me of something that he's been showing me this year specifically. I just want to encourage you guys to pay attention to the people that God's placed around you right now in this chapter, because he's teaching you something. He's trying to speak to you. He's trying to show you new things, because he's constantly doing new things in your life. And just as Seth was just talking just now, like, I'm being reminded of, like for you, for example, here's just a practical example of what I'm talking about how God puts people around you to learn from. Like, Seth just had a kid, right? He has a wife. He has a beautiful family. He has a home that he's stewarding. He has aspirations and goals that the Lord has shared with him to work towards, to expand the kingdom of heaven, right? And so there's certain things that God's placed in my heart as well, like to have children, to have a family, to have a beautiful wife, to have a beautiful home, to steward my life well. And so God is placing people around you right now in this chapter to learn from, to prepare you for what is ahead, right? So like, there is a day where Seth's kids and my kids will play together.
Amen.
And we'll learn from each other, and we'll learn from the Lord together and grow together. One of the things I've seen on repeat this year is God continually is placing me around married couples. He's placing me around people who have excelled in business, or excelled in stewardship, or excelled in familial relationships specific to the body of Christ. And so all these different people that God's placed around you, a lot of them potentially are invitations from the Lord into a deeper like understanding or knowledge or learning or wisdom or counsel or whatever it is. Like, there's specific people around you right now that God is trying to use to teach you things that you don't know yet. We have to continually be in this place of, Lord, what are you trying to show me? What is the Spirit of the Lord saying? God, give me eyes to see and ears to hear. What are you saying? What are you showing me? And so, like Seth, for me, for example, like, he's showing me how to be a great father. I see the way that he cares for Samuel, that he puts his son first, like even at social gatherings. Like, sometimes Seth wants to hang around. However, like, he has to go and be a great dad. He has to go and be a great husband. He has to go and steward his first ministry, which is his family. And I see these things. And even though if we don't even talk about them, or they're not always being expressed in conversations, like, I see these things, and I'm doing my best to be a sponge to the things of God and to learn in the areas that I need to grow in so that I can excel in these areas. I want to be a great father. I want to be a great husband. I want to be a great steward. I want to learn how to be content in my life. I want to be thankful and grateful, and I want to be wise, and I want to have understanding. And I want to learn how to build godly families and help the body of Christ to be the bride that she was created to be. And so I say all those things because I've prayed that God would help me with those things. And how does he answer that prayer? For me, he puts people around me who are farther along in those areas that I've prayed for than I am, so that I can look to them. And just as Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. I can look at Seth and say, hey, Seth, like, I want to imitate you as you imitate Christ in this area. And just at church yesterday, we were talking about, somebody mentioned how there's so many different sides to God's face, and we all represent different parts of him. And so we're all learning from each other, and we have to be open and vulnerable and courageous to step into those relationships and say yes to the invitation of God that he is extending to us to make us more like him.
Amen.
Holy Ghost.
That's fire. I was just reminded of Proverbs 27:17. It says, iron sharpens iron, so does one person sharpen another. And if you're listening to this saying, I don't need friends, I don't need friendship, I'm good by myself, I'm on the solo train, it's me and God, man, you're missing out. You're missing out on part of the plan and will of God for your life. You're in disobedience to God if you're thinking that, if you're living in that, if you're walking in that, you're in disobedience. And that's not Seth saying that, that's the Father saying the body, he talks about the body, the hand, the eye, the foot, all of it, it can't operate as it should. And you're not going to become the fullest version of yourself if you're by yourself. You know, think about, we were talking about the movie Castaway a minute ago. What does, I forget his name.
Tom Hanks.
He's on the island by himself. What does he do? He starts to go kind of crazy and he makes a friend out of a volleyball. Because could he survive without the volleyball? Sure. But to get him through the survival, to make survival worth it, he created a friend for himself because he needed somebody. And C.S. Lewis, he put it this way. Let me go to my photos here.
We all need somebody.
This is a quote from C.S. Lewis. He said, friendship is unnecessary. Like philosophy, like art, it has no survival value. Rather, it is one of those things which give value to survival. So what's the point of living, you know? And even Jesus said, there is no greater love than this, that one would die for his friends. That one would die. The greatest expression of love is that you would continually die to yourself, to your friends, in the relationship. And this also means that there's people in your life, in your church, in your bodies, that you may not particularly understand or get along with super well, but this is an opportunity to grow in loving them. To grow in loving them. Yeah. If someone is particularly difficult to deal with or hard to understand or you don't relate to them in any way, this, instead of saying, ugh, I can't stand to be around them, I don't want to talk to them, they're so annoying, ugh, I can't believe them, look what they're wearing, look what they're doing, it's like, wait a second, how can I love them as a friend right now?
Like Jesus.
We do that to people all the time, we judge them, instead of saying, how can I love them? They're part of this body, they're part of the body of Christ, they're going to be part of his bride, and I'm sitting here chastising them because of the way they look or what they like or what they say or what they think. No, I need to learn to love them right now because I'm going to be with them in the new kingdom forever and ever. I need to reach out to them as a friend. And maybe you're not going to become, you know, soul life partners where you're hanging out all the time, but friendship, we've got to grow in the body of Christ in developing friendships with people, even with people that we don't particularly like being around, maybe.
Yeah.
Which is difficult to do.
It can be, yeah. Because like you're saying, it requires like dying to ourself, dying to our flesh, dying to our understanding, dying to our opinions, dying to old worldly perceptions. I love, like I've heard this so many times from so many people when people talk about, you may be the only Jesus that someone ever sees. And that's so big to me is like, especially in the body, like if God says that that the world will know us as his disciples by the way that we love one another, like we should all in all times and in all places be asking the Lord to empower us to be an example of Christ to that person in front of us. How would Christ treat this situation, this person who's struggling with this or doesn't see things the same way that I do in this area? We need to be displaying the Lord. And that's just something that's been so impactful in my life, and seeing Christ displayed through those around me, my friends, my family, people who have ministered to me, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It's so important that we do that, you know, for one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's talk for a second, Carl, maybe about some qualities of a good friend. So as we're going through life, what are some qualities that I can be looking for that makes a person a godly friend? One thing I'll say right off the bat is they call you higher. They call you deeper into relationship with the Father. And Proverbs says it like this, faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. The wounds of a friend, meaning they call out your junk. A good friend calls out your junk.
Yes.
It says an enemy says, it's okay. You're doing good. But a faithful friend says, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It calls you higher. Mm. That's one quality that I see in a faithful friend. And you do that for me, bro. I appreciate that.
Wow. Amen. Right back at you. And please, like, that is definitely a huge thing for me. And I try to make that as abundantly clear to those who God's placed in my life to be close friends as I can. Like, hey, seriously, like, I'm not going to be offended if you like share something that you see that I need to grow in. I need you to. In fact, my life depends on it. Like, in fact, the life that Christ has prepared for me, like, I need to, because he can only heal things that we give to him. And sometimes I can't see things, you know, that other people can in myself. Another thing that I'll say when looking for a good friend, I heard this recently, and basically it was like, be the friend to someone else that you want to have. Meaning, like, if I want a friend who's loyal to me, I need to be a loyal friend. If I want to have a friend who spends time with me, I need to be a friend who spends time with that person. If I want a friend who listens to me and just sits and listens, I need to be willing to do that for somebody else. If I want a friend who's going to speak truth into my life and sharpen me, as we were just talking about, I need to be willing and bold and courageous enough to do that for those around me. And trust me, that can be uncomfortable. There's been times like I've said things to Seth that were like really uncomfortable for me to say, like, hey, bro, like, let's look at this. And that's hard for me to do, but I desire that. I desire that. I want Seth to do that for me, so I have to do that for him. That's a challenging thing for me because I don't want to, quote unquote, hurt people's feelings. I don't want to, quote unquote, have somebody think negatively of me. And it's like, it's backwards. That's backwards thinking. Like, that's worldly, unspiritual, demonic thinking. Like, as it talks about in James, I think it's chapter 3. Anyway, so those things are really important for me. So I need to make sure that I'm loving my neighbor as I love myself, right? Loving as I desire to be loved in a friendship. That's really important. I think it can be different for each of us, but I think those are some common things that are important to look for, you know?
That's good, man. Something else I'll add, this comes from Ecclesiastes 4. It says, for if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him
up.
So another good mark of a friend, someone that you should spend a lot of time with, is when you fall, they are there to lift you up.
Whoa.
And I think that this really is the separating the wheat from the chaff. When you go through it, who is there with you?
It's good.
You know, when something bad happens, who's there by your side?
Whoa.
That's somebody you should befriend, you know.
Yeah, my roommate Derek's done that for me many a times. Like, if I'm struggling with this or struggling with that, like, you know, there's different people there at different times for different purposes. Like, and so sometimes when I'm struggling with this, I'll go to this person. If I'm struggling with that, I'll go to that person. But like, we have to have people that, like, when we're falling or feeling like we're backsliding, or like you're saying, struggling through something, like, we have to have those people. Otherwise we're going to be stuck in isolation and we're just subject to whatever the heck the enemy throws at us. Because there's times like where I feel like I can't hear the voice of the Lord. I know that I can because I'm his sheep and he's my shepherd. However, like, friendships, like godly friendships, bring clarity to what God is saying and like remind us and edify us of the truth.
Amen.
You know,
something else you can look for, this is 1 Corinthians 15. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. We're talking about godly friendship here, right? Someone that is going to stick closer than a brother, right? do they have the same moral values as you? Are they on the same trajectory towards Christ as you? And maybe they're not where you are. Or maybe you're not where they are. But are you headed in the same direction?
Yeah,
that's a big, big thing. And as you're befriending folks, and as people are befriending you, be looking for that, because you don't want to attach yourself to someone who is not headed in the right direction or not willing to head in the right direction. And you know, this is the type of friendship that specifically is a godly one, right? Of course, we're called to be friends of sinners, right? To befriend sinners. That's what Jesus did. He was friends with sinners. But in this instance, talking about the type of person that you're going to pursue God with, and hopefully those sinner friends that you have are going to be that one day. But again, this is that type of friendship that is for a union with Christ as well, just like David and Jonathan had that too.
Yeah, man, I'm so glad you said that. Like, it's so important to, I guess, distinguish those two, because again, like, we're talking about godly friendships and godly relationships, and like, they just look different than worldly relationships. Like, the relationships that I had that I would have called friendships, you know, 4 years ago or 5 years ago or 6 years ago before I was following the Lord, like, they were people that were indulging in unrighteousness with me or would rejoice in wickedness. Like, yeah, we're going to go get super drunk this weekend, or we're going to go party this weekend, or we're going to go look for this, we're going to go look for that together. And literally, like, we were seeking wickedness together, and we were rejoicing in immorality together. And so those were the friendships that I was looking for. And so it's so interesting how the Lord begins to change our heart's desires as we look to him more and more. He talks about in Ezekiel 36, putting a new heart and a new spirit within us and causing us to walk in righteousness. And so there's a sharp contrast, you know, between these two things. And I believe with all my heart that it's really important to distinguish the difference between a worldly relationship and a godly relationship, and maybe even some examination and saying, like, okay, let me look at the friends that are actually my friends right now. Are they helping me to pursue righteousness? Do they do justice? Do they love mercy? Do they walk humbly with their God? If no, then perhaps it's time to reassess and honestly, maybe allow the Lord to prune some of those things. Again, like Seth's saying, yes, be friends of sinners, but no, do not allow. What does it say? Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers.
Yeah.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in his season. In all that he does, he prospers. His leaf does not wither. So if your friends don't look like a Psalms 1 man or woman, then perhaps you should be in prayer and saying, Lord, I need friends that look like this.
Amen.
I see the issues that I have with my current friends group, and Lord, like, help.
Amen. Amen. That's such a huge one, Carl. So I'm going to rally off a few more here because this is really important. I see this a lot. This is Philippians 2. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. That's Romans 12. Philippians 2 again. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Mm-hmm. There's such a thing as a life sucker. And I'm going to call them a life sucker because that's what it feels like. Where they claim to be your friend, but instead of actually looking to your interests or looking out for you, or caring about your concerns, they just suck all the life out of you. They suck all the friendship that you're giving out of you. And you're pouring out, and they're doing nothing in return. That's not a friend. And unless they change, you need to cut that off, because they're sucking and taking advantage of you. And those are not the type of people that we want to say, yes, I'm going to tie myself to you. Because every time you talk or see that person, you're around that person, you're going to literally get the life sucked out of you. Because they're not, they don't care about you. They care about what you're giving them. So again, what are we looking for in friendships is you are mutually building each other up.
Yeah.
And that's what Jonathan and David did. They mutually built each other up. It wasn't one-sided. And there may be chapters where it's one-sided, right? Because we go through stuff. But in general, we're looking for people also that take interest in our interests. And how sad, if you don't have anybody like that in your life where they're, you know, they're interested in what you're interested in, I'm just sorry. I really pray that, Father, if there's anyone in here that doesn't have somebody who cares about them in a deep way, a friend that doesn't care about them in a deep way, Father, would you bless them with that? Would you bring someone along? Would you show them where to go to develop a friendship like that? Because they need it. We desperately need it, Lord. People are killing themselves because they don't have this. People are in depression because they don't have this, Father. Would you help us develop healthy relationships with people that care about us, that sacrifice for us, that put each other first, that put each other first. Imagine if you put somebody else before yourself, if you put their interests and their concerns before your interests and concerns. Be the pioneer of it if you have to be. Take the first step if you have to be. Don't wait around for it. Be proactive and trust that as you step out into this, God is going to reward you with a godly friend. It will happen. It will happen. But we need to start stepping out into it faithfully, consistently, to be proactive.
Amen.
Amen.
Felt like the outro, you know what I'm saying?
Okay. That's the outro.
That's the outro. Until next time, guys, we love you and we pray that this ministers to your hearts. And we pray that God would himself confirm, restore, strengthen, and establish you and your friendships in all of your ways. In Jesus' name.